Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning. The show can be contained.
Hello. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. Let me go ahead and start welcoming our co-host to tonight's broadcast. Let's go ahead and begin with Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure to have you back with us.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone. I am looking forward to tonight's message. I want to hear what everybody has to say about this topic, and it also ties into Marla's topic, and I can't wait for that as well.
All right, awesome. We're glad to have you, and we're glad that you're doing well. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and bring in one of our international world travelers, our co-host, Benny from the Block. Welcome back to the United States.
Good evening, and happy Thursday. I'm glad to be back home, so I'm excited about the show. Thank you.
All right. Let's go ahead and also welcome from South Florida. Let's go ahead and welcome Port Rosette. Port Rosette, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening, everyone. Love is in the air.
All right. I'm glad to hear that. That's always a good thing. I've always said that there's nothing greater than love. So we're glad to have you here with us. Let's go ahead and welcome all the way from the Peachy State, Ricky to the Rescue. Ricky to the Rescue, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you with us as well.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I am glad to be here and ready to hear the show's topic and get started.
All right. Excellent. All right, tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is how do you know if God joined you to be with your significant other or spouse? In other words, when we hear those, the wedding vows, the marriage vows, and it says whom God has joined together, and that's going to be tomorrow night's topic, by the way, as well. It's almost like a continuation from tonight's topic. Whom God has joined together, let no man set asunder. How do you know if God really put you all together? Let me begin starting with Benny from the Block. Benny from the Block, how do people know that, you know, everybody's like, that minister gets up and he or she reads those vows, and it's like, whom God has joined together, let no man set asunder, or if there's anyone that has anything to say, let him or her speak now, forever hold your peace. How do you know that that's the person that God says, this is who I want you to marry?
Well, there's a couple things that happens. First of all, you have to be a person that's in a relationship with God first. And if you're in a relationship with him, then you're used to hearing his voice. If you're used to hearing his voice, then you're used to knowing that it is him that is giving you instructions and directions to where to go in your life. So if you've done all three of those things and you've asked him about a particular person that you have found, because we as men are supposed to go and find our wives and not the other way around. But when you put all those things in perspective and now you hear his voice, and he will clearly tell you, this is the person I have fastened for you. I have made and molded for you. I have been perfecting for you. And if you yield to his voice and yield to what he's giving you, then you will definitely be with the person you're supposed to be with.
Okay. Awesome. That is interesting. That is so interesting that you're saying this. And I take a different spin. I think that marriage, the institution of marriage, this is just my opinion, you all, the institution of marriage is of God, but not every marriage is of God, even with them getting up there to say those vows. I don't think that that's always the marriage that God has joined together. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. We're certainly giving all of our opinions. Let's go to another one of our co-hosts, 678-665. Who do we have? And welcome.
Hello, this is Miss J.
Oh, Miss J. Okay, Miss J, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
This is my cell phone because I'm traveling.
Okay,
I'm traveling,
all right.
Coming from New Orleans.
All right, excellent. You know, the thing about this show is we have international travelers as co-hosts, and we're so glad that we have all of that. I'm glad that everybody's having an exciting time. Miss J, it's good to hear your voice, and welcome to tonight's broadcast. Miss J, let me ask you your opinion here, and you may, I don't know if you're able to give the disclaimer now or not. Are you?
No, I'm not. I'm driving.
Okay, all right, then be careful out there. The disclaimer that you normally read is, the opinions that are expressed on our show or any of these shows.
Dr. Walker.
I'm sorry?
I could probably do it another 15 minutes, but you can go ahead.
Okay. All right. Thank you. What normally Ms. J would say is the opinions that are expressed on the Dr. Just Walker show or any of our shows are merely the opinions of those, the callers, the co-hosts, the hosts even. And we do not endorse any opinions. And everybody's just basically given their opinion. And we certainly hope and trust that you will take it just as an opinion. It's not intended for legal advice. It's not intended for psychological advice. It's merely an opinion, and we ask that you perceive it as such. If you're seeking a professional opinion in the areas that you specifically need, we're asking that you contact those professionals in that arena for your services. Otherwise, as Ms. J always says, enjoy the show. How do you know if God joined you to be with your significant other or spouse? Miss A, let me ask you that. How do you know that, you know, standing before the altar and the minister and you're hearing these things, whom God has joined together, let no man set asunder? How do you know that that's the person that you're going to actually, you know, be with? Because years later, you got half of those marriages, more than half now, and then in divorce. So if God put something together, how can it just separate?
You know, I heard what you said a few minutes ago, and I agree. Just because you got married does not mean that God put that marriage together. For me, you know, I guess I found a peace in my heart and joy, and I know that person, we are in sync with each other. He respects me, my opinions, my thoughts, and just everything. And I'm putting a little laughter in this. I know that my husband was sent by God by me because my father-in-law gave me a set of keys to his car even after we were dating for 3 months. So that was meant for us to be married because that father-in-law, he said, hey, you going to be my daughter-in-law. It has been said.
Excellent, excellent. All right. I want to get everybody's opinion on here before we move forward to the story. And we're already almost a quarter of the way through tonight's program. Let me bring in Ricky to Rescue. Ricky to Rescue, how do you know? I mean, do we really know that, okay, God joined this person together? This is my soulmate forever and ever till death do us part. How do you know?
Oh, wow. And so a lot of the times I think we make personal decisions, right? And there's really no, if I want to say it this way, we really don't have a spiritual plan, if you want to term it as that. As such, we go a lot based on our feelings and our experiences and what we learn from others, and also tradition and how we think things should be. And so it's really based upon what you're going by. I really feel like if you are spiritually connected in a sense, and you know, you have the same beliefs, you have the same values, you study together, you study the same way, and then it could happen. But if it's not connected a certain kind of way, if you're just going based upon your own assumptions and, you know, your own personality towards it, I think that's what makes it not last. And so to just conclude on it, I really think it depends on how you're connected.
Okay, all right. How you connect? So you're saying that it is possible. Okay, so the same people who got up there and they thought about that, okay, you know, this must be my soulmate. But then 3-4 years later, it ends in divorce. So could that have been just their personal opinion and feelings that they were excited about, but that wasn't who God had intentions for them to be with.
Oh, yes, I definitely agree with that because I just really feel like many people walk their journey of life based upon, you know, the decisions they're making and the I factor, not necessarily what your purpose was designed to be.
Okay, all right. We're going to certainly ask you all to stand by. Darren Deedy, let's bring you in here just quickly here. How do you know? How do you know if that's the one?
I absolutely agree 100% with Vinny from the block. Over my personal experience, my first marriage was his mother making us get married because we were living together out of wedlock, and she was afraid that I was going to get pregnant before I got married. So, as you know, it was my first marriage. It did last a good 12 years, but, yeah, it's those personal decisions, and it's not necessarily your personal decision. It depends on, you know, your family upbringing and your outside influences. So, yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, excellent. All right, we're going to move right along here. Poor Rosette, let me just get to you before, because I don't want to miss anyone on this question. How do you know? I mean, let's say if you're married, and certainly I've been in that direction, and I thought at the time that that was it, but later it wasn't it. So it's like, okay, God, did you really send me this person, or did... was that by my own choosing? Okay, God, so if you did it, I'm just thinking, then it's not supposed to end till death do you part. You know, God, we didn't kill each other, so, but we went our separate ways. So, poor Rosette, how do you really know when people have prayed and they go ahead and act anyway? How do you really know?
Yes, love is magic, don't you know? Sometimes it can even leave a glow. No one in this world below knows exactly what love is. Some say it's a strong liking or deep affection. It can leave us wanting or even give us a sense of direction. But everyone has their own meaning, so we just have to keep on dreaming. Just make sure you don't confuse love with lust, because love is something that you can trust. It's not like lust, which is just a sexual desire, but it's something that we all need and admire. So when you're searching for love, ask God for guidance. Two people don't fall in love just by chance. It is a wonderful mystery that two people can indeed enhance.
All right. Excellent.
So I feel definitely you have to ask God to lead you.
All right, we're going to ask you all to stand by. We're going to go right now to tonight's story. If you want to chime in on tonight's conversation, please, by all means, press 1 on your dial. Let's go. I think we have, I believe we're bringing in, I'm going to see, I believe this is going to be Go Girl. Go Girl, are you there? All right, let's go to 754. 214. Who do we have with us? 754-214.
Yes, hello, Jesse. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing? Who do we have with us?
Yes, this is Danny Cook. This is
okay,
my
Danny
first
Cook.
Time
thank
on
you
your
for
show.
Joining us. Can you just tell us briefly? How do you know? And briefly, when we say briefly, we've got a lot to cover. We haven't even gotten to the story tonight. We're going to ask
okay.
you, how do you know if God joined two people together? 15 seconds or less, please.
Well, the key is to understand God. Everyone is using God as the principle to join themselves together. But let's say if we don't understand God's purpose, we got to first of all understand when God says what he says, does he mean exactly that? Because what happened is I'm hearing that everybody's saying marriage is marriage, but then it doesn't last. So who's at fault? Who's the one? Are we really understanding God's his principles, his laws based on marriage or relationship? That's the thing. I think the key to understanding purpose is to understand God's purpose as far as the laws and what he means.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines again. Before we go to the story, 225-202, who do we have with us and welcome?
Patricia Parker.
I'm sorry, Patricia?
Parker.
Parker, okay. Ms. Parker, how do you know if God has joined you together with your significant other? How do you know that?
Well, I don't have a significant other right now, but I knew that the one that I chose him, not God didn't bring him in my life. You could tell the difference because when you choose something, it doesn't work. And I didn't ask God in the beginning.
Okay. All right. We're going to have standby. I got to get to the story now that they're threatening me to get to the story. And tonight's characters in the story are Olivia and Phil. Tonight's topic, how do you know if God joined you to be with your significant other or spouse? Olivia and Phil, they dated for just over 2 years before tying the knot. Now, prior to meeting Phil, Olivia prayed earnestly. She prayed earnestly for God to send her the right man, which she thought, without a doubt, it was Phil upon meeting him shortly after her prolonged periods of prayers. In the initial stages of their dating, everything seemed perfect, like they usually do when people are dating. They are both in their late 20s. Olivia has a very outgoing personality, while Paul is more of an introvert with controlling tendencies. There is no doubt that the couple are in love with each other, but Olivia has become reserved over issues relative to Phil's controlling behavior. Now, after their 6 months period of dating, things became a little rocky in their relationship because Phil's behavior seemed to change around Olivia when she dealt with her family and friends. He seemed to change his behavior around her family and friends. His controlling behavior appeared to show itself more in those situations, which caused Olivia to feel a little uncomfortable. Now, despite all of this, they continued dating for another year and a half and proceeded in getting married, realizing that nothing had changed, but in fact, had seemed to worsen. Olivia felt assured that her prayers were answered, and once they were married, things would smooth over because of her prior prayers and asking God to enjoin her with the right man, whom she thought was Phil. Olivia was ready for marriage and a family, so that was her motivation in getting married. Now, Olivia took her wedding vows seriously, especially when it came to the part of whom God has joined together, let no man set asunder. But within 2 months of her marriage, she now ponders whether God actually joined them together or was it really her own individual judgment. She is not happy at this point at all. Ms. J, let me go with you. Ms. J, I mean, here is the situation. This young lady, and all of these stories that you hear over the airwaves are inspired by true stories. The names, of course, are always changed to protect the innocent. Now, Ms. J, let me begin with you and ask the question. I mean, here she prayed earnestly for the right man. And then could it be that, I mean, I hear what everybody's saying on the air, and it almost sounds like we're justifying God's actions. And I don't think that we need to justify God. I don't think God is expecting us to justify him. God knows exactly what he's doing. But when things work, it must have been God's will. When they don't work, okay, it must have been our own will. Ms. J, what is it?
Well, in this case, it was her judgment. You know, God will send her that right man. This is probably the first man that came that gave her some attention, and she said, oh, thank you, God. She sent him to me. That's not necessary. Number one, she didn't have peace in her heart. I said earlier, you have to have that. They didn't have that trust and that respect. It was so many flags flying around. Even though they was flags, God would not send you someone that would make love not easy and enjoyable for you. So she should have, if she really prayed and believed and wanted true love, she should have seen those things. But simply because this man came to her, gave her attention, her own judgment, she thought he was sent by God. Every man that come across your path, it's not necessarily sent by God if they're not doing the right things as far as treating you, you know? so, that's the problem.
Right.
This man gave her that attention, but he wasn't for her the way he treated her. She wasn't having peace in her heart. She had some questions in her mind even before she married him. So if it was sent by God, those questions in your mind wouldn't have been there.
Okay. All right. So I heard Joel Osteen mention on one of his broadcasts, he said that sometimes God puts people in our lives for us to bring about, and I'm paraphrasing here, to bring about a change for that person, or bring about a change, not necessarily for the person, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that, but bring about a change for our own lives. Like he talked about his wife, Victoria, and you've heard me mention this on the air before. He said when he would go pick her up, sometimes, you know, he let her know he's coming, but she was always, she was never really ready. So even in their marriage, it was the same thing, but magnified. So when he tells her, he says, you got to be somewhere in a couple of hours, and he's given her advance notice. So he says, we need to leave by 10 o'clock. She says, I'll be ready. So he knows now that when she says, I will be ready, it's going to probably be 10:30, 10:45, and he just sits and he waits. So he knows that what God has done for him was taught him patience for her. Now, I don't, yeah. I mean, maybe that's just justification, but I don't see that being the case. That's just my personal opinion here, you all, just like everybody's giving theirs.
I don't see that in this story scenario. I don't see that because you got too many harsh things, the controlling part. He's not respecting her desire for things. Because at least in your scenario, this man was respecting the desire of his mate by saying, okay, she's going to be late, so I just be patient with it, you know. But it don't seem like he's doing too much respect.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, I mean, you know, if God has called him to the ministry, he certainly needs a wife that's going to be on time. She's going to be ready and prepared. So he's saying, well, God taught me patience. Maybe that was in his mindset, and I don't know it because you can't tell what's in somebody's mind subjectively, but I'm just saying maybe that was his peace of mind by saying that. Well, God put her there for me to learn patience. So if we're saying the same thing, and Benny from the block, I want to bring you in here now, could it be that Olivia is saying, well, God put me in his life for me to learn a lesson to be patient with him, and maybe he'll change as a result of me being in his life? Are we justifying God? And we got a show topic coming up on that, as a matter of fact, in a few weeks. Benny from the block, are we justifying God? Does God need us to do that?
No, he does not. And apparently we do a lot of excuses when things don't go our way or when we want things to go our way. So I like to go back to the original paraphrase. If you have to ask the question, did God send this person into my life? You're already out of the correct will of what you're supposed to be in. God will never send you mixed signals or incomplete things. He will not give you those types of comments in your mind that you have to question whether or not it's him. If it's not God, then it will be clear to you. And a lot of times, you know, no condemnation on anybody. A lot of times we don't have to even ask if it was God. We already know the answer, but we want to talk our way through things or talk our way up to things, and we already know the answer. The answer was given to us before we even asked the question, but yet we ask the question as if it's going to change. So the question that she's asking has already been answered before. The mere fact that she has to ask the question was telling me it was an automatic no. It was not from God. It was her own personal desire, her own decision, her own mind, because, you know, our minds can talk to us, too, about stuff. We can create and philosophically come up with any kind of thoughts we want to make it fit the scenario. But if it's not your assignment, it's not your assignment.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead. We got the world-famous Lady C joining us tonight. Lady C, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's an honor and pleasure to have you on board with us.
It's an honor to be here amongst everyone. I miss everybody. And I'm already hearing great news about the topic and what it's about, and I'm just ready to hear more.
Okay, excellent, excellent. All right, for those of you all that maybe just joined us tonight, how do you know if God joined you to be with your significant other or your spouse? And it seems like we've got some mixed thoughts on this one tonight. And I love what all of you all are saying in terms of rendering your opinions, but something to piggyback on what Benny from the block has said, God already knows what your desires are. He already knows before you even ask. He's often answered before we even ask. So he knows that, you know, if you're about to get into this thing, he's going to send some type of warning sign or something in our spirit to let us know that's not the road that you're supposed to take. That's not the road. But we go ahead anyway. But then why do we come out and it's like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited, just like in this case. I'm so excited. Olivia's getting married. She's going to start a family. But she saw all those red flags. Would now, would, there's a question here, poor Rosetta, I want to bring this to you. Would God, would he tempt us? Would he tempt us? Poor Rosette.
No, I don't think he will tempt us, but sometimes we may go through a test. And then,
so what's the difference? What's the difference with a test or a temptation? Aren't they both relatively the same?
I believe that Satan may bring the temptation. And like someone was saying, we can be sometimes led off by our own desires. A lot of times, I know me personally, I kind of had it in my mind that once I graduated from college, I felt like the next thing I wanted to do was get married. And so my ex-husband, when he came along and, you know, it was, I had already graduated from college. It probably was like maybe about a year from after I graduated from college and I was teaching already. And we knew each other as teenagers in the church, and so I felt really comfortable with him. And but as time went on, I know that when I think back, you know, hindsight, when I think back, I had some doubts because of the fact that sometimes there would be times when things would come up and I would want to talk it through, and I would notice that he would shut down. And then I remember now when I think back on things, how when we went to counseling, my uncle asked us if we were a born-again Christian or just a cultural Christian. And I remember saying that I was born again, because
okay,
I had already rededicated my life to the Lord, and he said he was a cultural Christian. And later on, that became a big issue because of the fact that that whole thing with not letting the sun go down on your anger, different things that the Bible would say, he wasn't following that. It would be whatever he felt like doing, and so it led to a lot of problems.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by because, I mean, I think, and this is just my opinion, you all, just like everybody's rendering their opinion. let me bring in Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, wouldn't you think that if this is what God's intent is, there's going to be some peace that's going to come within it? But before you even answer that question, I want to go with the question that I asked Port Rosette. Would God tempt us? She said that he'll take us through maybe a test. So why is it then, Darren Deedy, in your opinion, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach us how to pray, part of that prayer was, lead us not into temptation. So does that suggest or infer that God would lead us into temptation? I'm just asking the question.
That is a good question, and I believe so, but I think it could be a test for us, and obviously most of us fail because you should have peace within yourself and no questions about this should be Mr. Right. You should not have any questions. You should feel peace within and compliment each other and lift each other up. There should be no negativity. And, yes, when you go to bed at night, there should be no anger issues at all. I mean, it's just
all right,
you
we're
need
gonna
to have
ask
peace
you to
within if you're not.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to Go Girl. Go Girl, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure to have you. I think we have Go Girl. Okay, perhaps not. Do we have Mr. Clark? All right, perhaps if your phone is on mute. 754-283, who do we have with us? All right, perhaps that phone's on mute. All right, let me go to Nila all the way in Texas, I believe it is. Nila, we're going to bring you in all the way from Texas. I believe this is – I'm sorry – I think it is Nila. Nila, do we have you online?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear now. Let me ask you, I mean, it seems like we're kind of it seems like we're trying to wonder if people who are joined together is of God or is our own choosing. I believe free will comes into play so powerfully, and I believe that God does allow us to go through tests. Let me ask you this question. So when God puts someone there, you know, that might not be the person, but we fall in love, and now once we become what they call in psychology fixated on this or that, then it's like now we've gone beyond that point where it's almost by the time you're getting premarital counseling, you have already put down on your wedding dress, the cake, the hall, and all of these things have taken place. So no matter what, unless it's something extremely traumatic or dramatic, you're not going to change your mind. So let me ask you this question then. Why then would God put a tree of life in the middle of the garden if it was not intended to be a test? Just quickly now, Ms. Lewis, please.
God does test us. He does not. I heard you mention already about the scripture that says, and lead us not into temptation. I really don't think that word is lead. I think the word is leave, L-E-A-V-E, instead of L-E-A-D, L-E-A-D, because God does not lead us into temptation. He gives us tests because he wants to test us to prove, to see if we really love him, but he doesn't lead us. So I think that the word is do not leave me into temptation. Don't leave me there, but deliver me. So that's what I think.
Okay, so now you're changing the scripture because the scripture clearly reads, lead us. It doesn't say leave us. It doesn't say that. The scripture clearly says, lead us not into temptation, which is an inference that God could lead you into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So, Ms. Lewis, how are we able to change the scripture? You know, when he says none of his word could be changed. And I'm just asking the question.
Because the Bible says that God never tempt us. He will never tempt us. So how can he tempt us there in his Father's prayer that he taught us? I think that the word it could be leave instead of lead, because the Bible says that God does not lead us into temptation.
Okay, so then that scripture that says that, mm-hmm. You're saying, or am I hearing you correctly saying that is not, that scripture is misinterpreted? The word, the writings of that scripture, which was long before either one of us were born or any of us were born, that's inaccurate? Ms. Lewis, is that what you're telling me?
You know, when they translated, your Bible has, I'm not saying that you have to, you're going to put no confidence in God's word. But when the Bible was translated from all different Hebrew and, you know, it could be just like the comma when Jesus says, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. The comma was just at the wrong place. And so people think that God said, Jesus said, yeah, I said today, you shall be with me in paradise, when Jesus did not go to paradise that day. So it's just a matter of commas and maybe those two letters, L-E-A-V-E.
Okay.
And
but I interpret
A-V.
That even on the cross when he did say that today you will be with me in paradise, I interpret that as him meaning from this point on, you will in the appointed time, but I wouldn't change. I'm not looking to change the scripture. I would go with that scripture and look at it as a metaphor of speaking, that his intent was that this day your sins are forgiven you, that you will be with me in paradise, you know, when the appointed time comes. We're going to ask you to stand by. We've got a live one here tonight. If you just joined us, how do you know if God joins you to be with your significant other or your spouse for that matter? So I'm going to go back, and we're going to get to as many people as we possibly can. Ricky, to the rescue, I want to bring you back in. And we're going to try to get to everybody if we can give our comments rather short. Ricky, to the rescue, I want to bring you back in. We seem to be all over the place tonight. We really do. And basically, it's about Olivia, and it's about Phil. And so, I mean, the warning signs were there, the red flags were there, but even going beyond this, I'm trying to get to the core, to the actually the core. How do we know without a shadow of a doubt? And if, and for me, my personal opinion is, if it's not peaceful, if it's not peaceful, if it does, if it gives the appearance that it's cantankerous, if it's frictional, if it's problematic, that's not. I don't see that being that. Okay, maybe God wants me to fix this person. We can't fix anybody. Ricky to rescue, help us out with this.
Well, there's definitely a lot of things going on, but there is something I did want to mention as we had this conversation, and I mentioned earlier about an actual spiritual connection, and I think it's important to lay the foundation of when you start talking about, you know, what's in the scriptures, laying the foundation of agreeing on what's said literally versus what was said in parables. Because I think that creates a lot of confusion when people are discussing scriptures, because some scriptures are spoken in parables and some scriptures are spoken literally. And so if you are going to have a relationship with anyone, if you can't have those fundamental agreements as it pertains to those type of things, it could create a lot of problems. And so when you start saying things like, well, how do I know? It becomes even more difficult to know when the foundation is so shaky. And so when you start trying to, in a sense, box God in, when God is something that can't be boxed in, to say it's either definite this or definite that, and then when you encounter someone who challenges that, that's what starts to create the tension. And so as it pertains to the actual story that we're listening to, I would be very curious to know what was prayed for, because, you know, when you start talking about when you're praying for something, you asking for something, and it comes, you know, we kind of automatically think it came from a good place. So as an example, if I'm praying for a new car and my car comes, right, and so I was a faithful churchgoer, then I got my new car, and all of a sudden I'm going different places on Sunday, I'm not as involved, like, where did that really come from? Now, I prayed for it and it came, but what happened when I received it, right? Did I promote, you know, my spiritual well-being, or did I promote the lifestyle in which I was trying to live to fulfill that purpose, or did that change? And so I think a lot of the times when we start to pray for things, especially if we receive exactly what we ask for, that kind of makes us automatically think it's coming from a good place. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's coming from a good place. It's how, as you kind of put it as well, we do have free will in our decisions and things that we're doing, because a lot of the things that we could do are almost predetermined by how we think, what we believe, and what the actions that we take to go get it. And so if it's not grounded, you know, if it's not grounded in a certain kind of way, it can go in a lot of different directions.
That's a very, you know, I don't think I could have said it any better. I certainly concur with what you're saying. And I think sometimes we all kind of miss certain things. This free will, I would encourage everyone on this line, under the sound of my voice, understand, get to a point where you're researching what free will, free choice means. Free will, free choice. The one thing that my understanding, I'm going to bring you all in here and ask you a question, God will not impose himself on our free will. On our free will. Benny from the block, I want to bring you in here. Do you think that God will impose his will on us? Even Jesus Christ said, Father, not my will. Nevertheless, not my will. The human side of him did not want to die. That's my interpretation. But he said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So would God impose his will on us without us giving him that extension or that opportunity or that offer or that invitation? Benny from the block?
No, I don't think God would ever allow his will to be imputed upon us in our lives, because that's not what he is. And that was the whole purpose behind the tree in the Garden of Eden. the tree was put there not because it was supposed to be a temptation. The tree was put there because he wanted them to have limitations on what they could and could not do and what their limitations were to him. His limitations were simply this: if you yield and if you submit to authority, then you will stay in compliance and I will release unlimited blessings over your life. So if he had given them completely 100% access to the garden, they would have quickly come to the conclusion, we don't really need to serve God because we have everything we need. God didn't want that in our lives. God wants us to say, hey, because of God, the planter, because he planted the garden, because of God, we don't need to put our focus on the tree, the product. We need to put our focus on the person that planted the tree, because he has all will, all knowledge, and everything. So if we can keep into a balance to say, we need God because God has everything that we need in our lives, rather than us looking at things and items and our thoughts and our minds and say, hey, I can think this on my own. Yes, you have free will, but everything has limits. If you stay in the limits, you stay in the will. If you get outside the limits, then you get into chaos. When you get into chaos, guess what? You come back to that which you knew what you were supposed to do, which was stay in the will. Limit is not negative. Limit is a positive boundaries that sets us up for unlimited amounts of everything else we can have in our lives.
Okay, but I see it slightly different because I see, I mean, you're talking about the creator of humanity, the creator of life, of everything. And you actually put this tree in the garden, in the middle of the garden. And I do believe that we had access to the entire garden. I believe Adam had access to the entire garden. And but yet God put this tree in the center of the garden. So this is an area that I believe, you know, this is my opinion, that Adam passed frequently. But God gave him specific instructions about this particular tree. And see, here's the thing, the eternity, could the eternity be in that tree? Neela Lewis, I want to bring you in. Could the eternity be in that tree? Because the fact of the matter is once they touched that tree, then the degradation began to happen. Leaves began to fall. So God took the tree of life out of the Garden of Eden. Because otherwise, if they had gone on and sinned like they did, and then yet they had the garden of the tree of life, if he had not removed that, then this sin, it would seem like there's a contradiction or a conflict. Neela Lewis, I want to bring you in. What's your thought on that as we get back to tonight's word? We're almost out of time.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, quickly, okay. Please.
Like my brother just said, that shouldn't be a limitation. It should be a pleasure because if they came to know their true God, and if God puts a test, then we should be able, if we love him, to do what he asks us to do. So God always gives us a test to prove if we are on his side or on the old dragon side. And I don't blame God for giving us tests because we need to prove whom we love, whom we give our allegiance to. And so we can see that Adam and Eve gave their allegiance to the old dragon instead of God. So
in essence, what you're saying, if I'm hearing correctly, God does test us. So if that's the case, then why wouldn't he, if he put that tree there, wouldn't that be leading you towards temptation? Isn't that leading you towards temptation?
But you must develop that love and relationship with your master instead of bowing down to the negative feelings that whatever comes over. You must know.
Right,
that.
But I'm asking you, if that tree is there, and I got to frequent this tree, pass it by, and it's like you told me don't do this because, I mean, I'm just thinking humanly. Now, when, you know, and you've heard me say it on air, when my mother said don't do this, don't go in that cookie jar, and there's a lot of cookies there. She's not going to know that I took two or three of them out because it's almost full, and I doubt very seriously if she counted them. So the minute I had an opportunity, I was in that jar. I was in that jar. So because she told me don't, and I know her instructions were because it was for a purpose, but I just failed the test, and oftentimes she did test me. So am I hearing you saying that the tree being here, was it leading us to that? Because it was in the passageway. I'm asking that question. Was it leading us?
If mom was testing you, why do you think she was testing you?
To see if I was going to be obedient, which she chances are she knew I wasn't going to be obedient.
Oh,
because she knew me. Okay, so
no.
Didn't God even know that Adam and Eve were not going to be obedient because he's omniscient, all-knowing?
But we have to get our test to prove if we love him or not. Because if God did not allow us to have a free will, then we would just be like robots. And God.
Okay, so Ms. Lewis, let me ask you this, and I don't want to deviate from the subject tonight. Do we all love God? We say, every one of us will say, basically, who believe in God, that we love him, right?
Yes.
Okay,
that
so
says,
if...
Love me, keep my commandments. That's it.
Right. He uses that word hypo. He uses the word if you love me, which becomes
right.
a question. And the fact of the matter is, can anyone really keep the commandments?
Yes.
But that's another subject that we're going to get to
yes.
at another time. I want to go ahead and bring in Lady C. Lady C, thank you for your patience. It's always a pleasure to have you on with us. And I want to go with Lady C now. Lady C, I mean, the question here is, Olivia married Phil after 2 years of dating this guy. But now, in two months into their marriage, she is not happy. And she wonders now, is he the man that God really put me with? Because now she's pondering this. She's not sure. So should she wait for 20 more years and see if it works out?
Well, I think you said after 2 months. Right?
Sad.
After 2 months. So after 2 months, you're getting to know each other. You're now living with each other. You're now married. I mean, you're really learning things about this guy or this woman that you never known before because you never took the time to really pay attention to. Because, you know, when we get married, we all think we own the other person, which we really don't. So we stop trying. So at this moment, both of them pretty much probably just now seeing the other person for who they really are because why? They put up this probably fake persona. So, no, I don't think... to give up on him. I think she should stay in it and not give
okay.
up just yet. And, you know,
okay.
the first 1 to 5 years is the hardest part of being married because you're getting to know the other person on a whole different level.
All right. So they talk about the 7-year itch even. We're going to ask you to stand by. Miss J, I want to bring you in here. Miss J, who has the patience to keep, I mean, if it's like it's rocky and all of a sudden now you get in it. Miss J, really, who has the patience to just wait to see, okay, the next 5 years, I got to go through this 7-year itch? It's like, okay, this scratch is so hard and complicated, I don't feel like doing that scratching. You know, talk about 7-year itch. Who has the patience?
You know, I am a firm believer. I'm sorry, but these are some young people. I don't believe you're wasting your life. Number one, admit you made a mistake. This man here done changed and flipped and done all kind of things. He was doing all that stuff while y'all was dating. And you can't change some habits or maybe no habits of people. So stop trying. You know, if you have an issue with something, come on now. What makes you think it's going to change? That's the problem.
And see, Ms. J, I'm kind of with you. It's like people, I mean, it's just like you all heard me mention this story before over the air. There's a preacher. I know this guy personally. He divorced his wife. And then the wife spent more than 10 years praying at the church that they used to attend together. And one of the members saw him and says, listen, your wife's been praying that God will send you back to her. He said, God does not impose his will on our free will. I don't want to be with her anymore. She needs to stop praying. That man never went back to that woman because she's sitting there praying, please send my husband back. Please send my husband back. And so the man is like, that's my free will not to be with her. So Ricky to the rescue, how is that any different from the free will that we thought when they got married, they took those vows, and this is a preacher man knowing the vows because he's done wedding ceremonies. But he realizes that free will, that free choice. How powerful is that, Ricky, to rescue in your opinion?
Well, I think free will in itself is pretty powerful. But, again, I'm real curious to know, you know, and to uncover when we start talking about what someone is praying for, or when we're talking about what free will, what do they define as free will as well, because that can kind of help us get a better understanding of how the situation ended up the way in which it did.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've got a lot. We've got comments that they're threatening me that we got to take on these comments. So we're going to go to each one of you and ask as many as we can. We'll take about 6 comments tonight because we're running clearly out of time. I had no idea that we would be running out of time this quickly. And then what we'll do tonight, how do you know if God joins you to be with your significant other? We're going to ask Ricky to the Rescue to close us out in about 8 minutes. Ricky to the Rescue, will you do that for us on tonight's topic?
Yes, no problem.
Okay, all right, here we go with the first comment. And we're going to send this one over to you, Miss J. This male, he writes in, he says, well, in reference to tonight's topic, how do you know if God joins you together? I thought that upon hearing the marriage vow, that the pastor reads, what the pastor reads means that God has joined the two people together. Isn't that what it's supposed to be? Miss J, he's asking the question, that God joined the people together.
God's going to join you together before you stand before the preacher. You should know before you stand before the preacher whether you were meant to be together by God. And this is just a unity with the verbal part, stand before the preacher. Otherwise, you should know ahead of time. Don't wait till you get to the preacher and say, did God really bring us together? I mean, it's kind of crazy, but no.
So, Miss J, that's what we're trying to get to the core of. How would they know that God joined them together? If it's chaotic, in my opinion now, that's not the person you're supposed to be with.
You go through a dating and loving and getting to know each other, working together, partnership, respect, you know, you're honoring each other's desires and wants, and you have that feeling, that sweet feeling in your heart, and you don't know, because you know when you see some flags. And why are you going to think them flags going to lay flat? I don't know.
No, absolutely not. And see, to me, now this is my opinion again, whatever God has created, it works in harmony. The sun and the moon, they don't fight. They know their role.
They don't fight. Love doesn't hurt.
The asteroid, the planet, there's the centrifugal force out there that keeps everything in order, because God's design, his whole system is organized. He has an organized system. So why would God, you know, and ladies, I want to bring in here, why then would somebody think that God joined them together when it's a chaotic relationship? Come on now, help me out here.
I don't think, if it's chaotic and miserable, I don't think God joined you together at all. But I agree, I do agree with the, you know, you will already know that God joined you together way before the, you know, you set the union in front of the church in the past. You should already know if this man is for you, and if it's your heart speaks of this guy, and that guy's heart speaks of you.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. Danny, I want to bring you in here. This female says, Danny Cook, she says, I learned a long time ago that not every marriage is ordained to be from God. I think we make our own choices. Danny, 15 seconds or less. Do you think that there's any truth to that?
Yes, it's based on, I figure like this. The Bible says, so is my word that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. I think the principle of understanding God's law, see, because it's our understanding, like the interpretation of the word of God. If God has purpose for things in his word to never come back to him void, then who's the one that's at fault? Is it God or is it us in our understanding what God's law says? Because it's automatically going to work. God's word will never fail. It's our understanding. We do based on, I like the young man that said, when it has to do with our spirituality of understanding God's purpose, understanding God's laws, because we have to see and understand what does God mean in his laws. If we don't understand the laws and his principles, and because the Bible says God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if God never fails, who's at fault? I think that it's our understanding when we understand right. what we're trying to understand.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Let's go to Marjorie Cross. Ms. Cross, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Thank you for your patience. You got a good 20-second commercial because we're almost out of time. We want to give Ricky the Rescue enough time to close us out tonight. Ms. Marjorie Cross.
Okay. Good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening to all your co-hosts. Welcome back, Benny and the Block and Lady C. Yes, my name is Marjorie Allen Cross, and I'm a health and wellness consultant with one of the most leading companies in the world. And we have over 150 products, health products, that may be able to help you with any health condition. You can reach me at 786-319-7223. Again, 786-319-7223. Or visit the website, please, at betteryourself.info. Betteryourself.info. Thank you, Dr. Walker.
All right,
thank you so much, Ms. Cross.
We got to move right along. Darren Deedy, I want to give you this next comment that's come into the studio. We're going to take about four more. We got to move quickly, you all. This mail, he says, a reference to how do you know if God joined you together. You know, it's interesting to me for people to think that when things are working out, they must be meant to be. Until we don't want to be with the person anymore, then we say it was not meant to be. Which is it? I really don't think we know. Darren Deedy, he says we don't know. If it's going good, it must be meant to be. If not, it wasn't meant to be. Which is it? Which is it, Darren Deedy?
That was free will, and it wasn't meant to be.
Hmm. Interesting, interesting. Are we going to take this next comment? Point, Rosette, we want to bring you in here on this one here. This female, she says, I personally think our own free will or free choice is what it's about, as you all are saying on tonight's program. I think when we are happy with someone, we may think it's all the way it should be and perhaps think it's a gift from above. However, when we are not so happy, my question is, what do you think then? Poor Rosette, what do you think then when you're not so happy? Like with Olivia's case right now, 2 months. She's not that happy.
Yeah, true love will be there in the good and bad times. Now, I know God did say leave and cleave to the wife, and in addition to that, he said that, like, with a husband really loving his own body, he will love his wife too. And so if it's really true love, it'll work out. But if not, then yeah.
Okay, all right. Patricia Park, I want to bring you back in here. Thank you for your patience, and all of you all, we've got so many people calling in. We're not going to have a time to get to everybody because we're almost out of time. Patricia Parker, does love conquer all, yes or no?
Say it again.
Does love conquer all? Is love all we need?
No. We need
God. Okay, what else we need? What else do we need, Ms. Parker?
We need God.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Listen, you all, we're clearly out of time tonight, you all. I am so sorry. We're going to continue this here. Part of it will be in our topic tomorrow night, which leans on the spiritual, which leans on the spiritual note of everything. Right now, I'm going to give Ricky to the Rescue this comment, the last comment that we'll be able to take, and then we're going to ask him to go ahead and close us out with tonight's topic. This mail, he says, I think when it's from God, the relationship would work out naturally, just like the universe operates in a natural order, as you said, Dr. Walker. The stress is minimized. Ricky the Rescue closes out. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, and I think that was a good point that was made. I also wanted to mention that when we start asking questions like why or should something be, there is a structured way in which we could try to search for answers. And so when we give an answer off the top of our head, more than likely we're going to tell you what our true feeling was at that time. But if you're able to collect your thoughts and sit down and write things down, if if you're visual, or sometimes you may need to record yourself talking and listen to yourself again, it's important to try to align your thoughts with your beliefs and hold yourself accountable to see if your actions are actually living up to that. And so if you're saying to yourself, well, did God bring us together? What are your belief systems as it pertains to your spirituality or your God? And, if you were to partner, do you truly serve the same God? And I know that wasn't mentioned tonight, but when I say serve the same God, we reference God and we say God a lot, but when you actually put it into perspective, there are a lot of different gods out there. And so the reality of it is to structure it in the sense of you actually writing it down and taking a look at it. And if you feel like your life is completely aligned different from someone else, now we're starting to have a conversation about, okay, so do our belief systems match? And so it really takes a process where you're able to take a look at it and structure it, and it will help you gain more confidence in what you're saying and what you're believing in with yourself. So thank you for that time, and I hope that was a good closeout. I know that we reached overtime, and we want to just try to close out the show.
All right, excellent, excellent. Rick the Rescue, as always, we certainly appreciate your closing commentary. I want to thank all of you all, every one of you all tonight, for joining us on tonight's broadcast. We're going to ask you to join us here tomorrow night. We've got another good one tomorrow night, and this doesn't just end there. Tomorrow night's topic is, whom God has joined together, let no man set asunder. What does that really mean? You don't really want to miss tomorrow night's topic. It's a kind of a carryover, but it's going to have the spiritual connotation to it. And listen, I just want to say to my listening audience out there, don't get it wrong. I'm a strong believer in God. I communicate with God every single day in my life, and I encourage all of you all to do the same. And as Ricky the Rescue said earlier, and others have also said, it comes down to your spiritual relationship with God. It comes down to your own individual spiritual relationship with God, and that's what's most important. So listen, we're out of time tonight. We're going to ask that you all join us here tomorrow night, when once again the topic will be, whom God have joined together, let no man set asunder. What does that really mean? Join us here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. For us, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's program, we'll be back here next Thursday for the Dr. Just Walk Show. Until tomorrow night or until next Thursday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, Dr. Walker, and good night, everyone. Good night. Great closing, Ricky, to the rescue. God bless you.
Good night.
Have a good night. Great show.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Mr. Lewis. Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Keep well, keep safe, everyone. Thank you.
Good night. Be safe. That's God to show you.